Now it is that time of week again. It is a Friday. It's Friday the 6th of February, and hot-footing it back from the council with his notepad in his hand. He's been speaking to Barry Aspinall. He's been speaking to the team at Brentwood Council, and he's here with the weekly update.
You made it sound really glitzy. And it is.
There we go. Do you like that?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, pretty good. Are you glad that I noticed?
Yeah.
It was a good chance I wouldn't.
No, well, there we go.
Okay, we had a lot to talk about today. Let's start with Hopefield. Hopefield's always interesting. Yeah. Now, Leanne and Dave, who run the centre, Leanne's been in, of course, a few times. We've been talking about this over the last few weeks. The petition's got 150,000, we think.
Yep.
Signatures now, so lots still going on. Now, they spoke to Barry Aspinall, leader of Brentwood Borough Council, in the week. Tesco's called Hopefield, and they had a conversation. They said that they are not selling the land at the moment to Hopefield. And this is probably, it's on the face of it, it doesn't sound like good news, but I'll explain the situation. Also, on the face of it, it was probably obvious because we know that Tesco's are in some kind of financial difficulty at the moment. I think that's fair to say. They've got woes out there.
Yeah.
And selling the land for housing is something that they cannot take off their radar straight away because it's going to make them a lot of money.
Yeah.
In fact, they have valued the land at between $1.5 million and $2 million per acre.
Oh, blimey.
And they've got 45 acres there. So my O-level maths tells me they're valuing the land at 67.5 to 90 million pounds.
Wow,
indeed. Now, I'm no surveyor, and there are experts in the town who might dispute this. £1.5 million for an acre sounds a little bit expensive to me, because I know that a detached house on a plot of about a third of an acre would probably go for about £650,000-700,000, and you've got to build the house as well, which is going to cost maybe half the cost of selling it. So seems a little bit expensive to me, but that's where they valued it. £2 million per acre sounds a bit over the top, but even if it was £1 million per acre, we're talking about £45 million, which is beyond Hopefield, I would guess, and also beyond the council, I would hope, as well. Now, Tesco are going to apply to put housing on it under the local development plan, which we talk about all the time. And they believe that's the maximum value for housing. Now, the agricultural value, which is what it's worth at the moment without that, without the permissions on it, is probably a few thousand pounds per acre, which is what Tesco paid for it originally. Yeah. Okay, so suddenly we're talking about, I don't know how much a few thousand pounds per acre is, but I'm guessing somewhere like 100,000 to 150,000 for the whole plot as agricultural land, which makes a bit more sense. And that's, like I said, that's what they bought it for.
But now, can it be changed if it changes to housing? But they can make that change. It's just that they can
try to make the change.
Yeah.
Okay. Despite the fact that at the moment it's a community asset of value, which means that if they then actually do put the land up for sale, they've got to offer it for Hopefield first. It sounds like they're going to offer it at £90 million, which is ridiculous.
Which can cut into their budget ever so slightly, I would think.
Yeah, just a little bit. Sounds like they're going to play a little bit hardball about it. Now, officers from the council, firstly, are contacting Tesco to talk about acquiring it at the agricultural value and not at the other value. Now, why would they want to do that when Tesco's think they can build on it? Yeah, they've got every right to apply in the local development plan to put housing on it.
Yeah,
the local development plan is also looking for members of the public. They're consulting with members of the public, because we're advertising that on Phoenix every day. And the idea is that you write to the council, say, I absolutely do not want houses on this land. I want a park.
Yeah.
And the council have to take the public's views into account. Now, let's say that Tesco's do ask for this and they then make the application to the station. Barry Aspinall says zero chance that it will go through at Brentwood Borough Council level. And I would agree with that, because I saw the meeting a couple of weeks ago, and opposition as well as administration councillors were all unanimous in their support for Hopefield.
But does that make any difference? Because if it goes to the next level up and they just say we're building and that's it,
we will discuss this.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, if and also if what can happen is that they can appeal to the Secretary of State, who at the moment is Eric Pickles, who is unlikely to put it through. He will probably look at it and say, yeah, on balance, I think the council are right in refusing planning permission, especially if Brentwood Council can demonstrate to the government that they can provide housing elsewhere. The government is unlikely to say, yeah, okay, you can build more houses here as well, which makes sense. So more houses elsewhere in the borough could save Hopefield. Now, I raised the question that it's all very well saying that Eric Pickles, the Secretary for State, is likely to reject it. But after May, we could have another coalition in charge. Even if it's another Con-Lib coalition, it could be that Mr. Pickles has moved on and doing something else. Chancellor or something, I don't know. Probably not Chancellor. There's buddies in there already, isn't it? But it could be a Labour stroke SNP alliance or something like that, and you might get some guy from the SNP who the appeal goes to who doesn't know the difference between Brentwood and Ben Nevis, and then make a case. So you can't actually say that nothing is guaranteed. But what Brentwood Borough Council will be doing in the meantime is putting it forward as protected open space as part of the development plan. And the council will decide by the end of March what goes in the development plan. Now, just to, I asked a little bit more about the mechanics, because we talk about the development plan every week, and rightly a lot of people probably think, yeah, okay, it's a plan, then what? We don't know. What happens is it will be decided about what's going forward in it at the end of March. Nothing then happens until after the election, which is on the 7th of May. The council, whether it's the Brentwood Accord or the Conservatives, whoever win the election in May, will consider it for about 3 months to 6 months, and then it goes back to full council meeting with the recommendations. The developers, it goes to the government after that. Okay, the government have to consider it and they come back with recommendations, and then it will be rubber stamped, because the government would have said you can do this, you can't do this. Developers and landowners can then challenge the findings, and that could take a few weeks, a few months. And we're talking about barristers coming down to council chambers. So, cut a long and complicated story short, the local plan should be officially adopted by the end of next year. So it will take about 18 months to go through. So we know that it's the intention of the current council to put it forward as protected open space, and if that happens, there'll be a protected land notice on it, and they will not be able to put housing on it. No doubt Tesco will appeal, because it's worth their while to do so if they really can get 90 million for it. Having said that, it's, and I think their shareholders would insist that they would, but having said that, it looks like there's no chance. And Barry Aspinall has said whatever happens, Hopefield will survive in Brentwood. I made the point of saying, well, if agricultural land is so cheap, which it is, why can't they just build another Hopefield? And it was pointed out to me that if they move the animals, a lot of them would have the, you know, that it's their home. If they move it, a lot of them are old and frail. That's why they're in Hopefield in the first place, and a lot of them might die, not survive the move. And Barry said, well, we're looking at making this Shenfield Country Park. There's no reason why we can't start a rescue centre there. And if it looks like we're going to have long-term problems with Tesco's over the years, we could gradually move it so the new animals go to a second home. And then when the old ones... he didn't say this, but I took it that when the old ones die off, then eventually it will fade out and everything will move to the new place. So, you know, to reaffirm it again, whatever happens, Hopefield will survive in Brentwood. It's not easy, though. There will be a fight. That's my view.
They've got 45... I think it's 45 stores. They've got a close over the UK, haven't they? To their profits.
That's right.
So, they will fight tooth and nail, I would
think. None of them too close. Yeah, they're popping.
Made it too big. Made the shops too big, and then you've got competition from the other shops, which you can go and get things a lot cheaper in. And it's
they're
just
popping up all over the place at the moment, because they opened one in Worley about 12 months ago, and there's quite a few. They opened one in Billericay a couple of years ago as well. So they're popping up these little shops everywhere. It seems to be the way forward, doesn't it?
I was just moaning this morning. You go into a supermarket, you say, "I'll go and get some milk," and then you're walking for about 15 minutes to try and find the milk, and the butter's at the other aisle. It's, well, why would you say? I mean, it's setting up a shop so you buy the maximum, because you walk past other things and you end up with a basket of food before you know it. That's what
not me. I go to these shops quite often and I buy everything on special offer. I thought, don't need it today, gonna buy it, I'll need it next week.
There we go. Paul is the ultimate customer in your shop.
They are not making a profit out of me.
So
I will continue to go to Tesco's and hurt their profits. Okay. By all their loss leaders. Right, let's move on. We've got a new interim chief executive in place at Brentwood Borough Council. He was signed up on Wednesday night. It's Graham Farrant. He's currently, he's currently at London Borough Barking and Dagenham. He finishes there at the end of this month, and he moves over to Brentwood on the 1st of March. He is interim because the Conservatives do not like having a chief executive. They like a managing director. So I asked, well, what's the difference? Mm. Because I kind of know what it is in business, but I don't know what it is at council level. There was a little bit of a pause while...
somebody looked at the notes.
That was my point. It's not immediately obvious because it's the guy who's in at the top, isn't it? You know. Now, Barry Aspinall did explain a difference. He said a chief executive has to come from local government, and it might be a former head of legal or a former head of finance, someone who's got a lot of experience. A managing director could be someone who's just been drafted in from business. Mm. So he might have run a multinational corporation and he's now been drafted in to run a council. Now, you could argue either way about who would be best for the job. Mm. Someone who knows local government, or someone who's been a success in business and can take those skills to local government. I don't know the easy answer for that, but that's what the Conservatives say. We explained before why we couldn't get a permanent one, why it has to be interim, because nobody would take the job on a permanent basis. So that's where we are with that. Pilgrim's Hatch Post Office, co-op. This seems like I'm not going to say there's a bit of a non-story. I think this one could have a happy ending for the people in Pilgrim's Hatch quite easily, though, because the co-op have got the post office in their store at the moment, and they want to kick the post office out. The co-op are in a lot of trouble as well. So I'm told. Well, no. So I'm told that they want to kick them out anyway. I know they're in a lot of trouble because I read the papers.
Yeah.
Now, Barry Aspinall and the mayor have been presenting a position, and they've been fighting to keep it open, to retain the post office there, that was discussed at the council because obviously there was the possibility they may lose their post office, they'd have to come into Brentwood. Now, the council actually own the shop and they lease it to co-op. There's several years left on the lease. A condition of the lease is they have to have the post office in there. So this one actually seems like good news.
Yeah.
Open and shut case straight away. They won't be able to do it. They can ask to renegotiate the terms of the lease. But, you know, having my accountant head on, there's got to be a really good reason why a landowner would want to renegotiate the terms. Yeah, it could be another 25-year lease. Could be the rent's gone up. Mm. Maybe we'll kick it out then. But I think while the council are committed to retaining public services, I can't see that happening. And, again, that is extremely hypothetical, what I just said. So looks like the post office is there to stay. Good news, if you like. Sending letters.
Well, you get a lot of older people go there, pick up their pensions and stuff.
You do.
It's like
this is true.
You know, so
it's not just sending letters.
No, and it is.
It?
I mean, the thing is, a lot of older people do still send letters and parcels. And if you've got to get in a car or a bus to get into Brentwood, that would be a pain in the bum.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, letter sending is a thing of the past anyway for a lot of people.
Do you not write letters to people? Do you not do that?
You're
sacked. You'll take that letter to the post office. That comes in by carrier pigeon.
Yeah, which envelope holds the P45s? No, I don't, actually. I'm quite shocked to know. I couldn't tell you rightly exactly how much a stamp is. I think it's 60 and 90, I think,
I've got no idea.
I kind of got in back of my mind that it's half that. You
I
know,
thought
because
it was like 21 pence. What's the first class stamp, Molly? Do you have any idea? Firstly, you're a parent, you'd know these things.
Oh, no, it's always by book of 12.
There we go. So that's helpful.
Yeah, it wasn't much fun when they took the number off and put first on it.
I didn't like that.
Didn't like that. That was the beginning of the...
End.
Beginning of the end for stamp. And the other thing is we've been here for 2.5 years, nearly 3 years, actually, we've been here. Wow.
It's 3 years now, isn't it, February?
Three years in February. Yeah, 3 years next month. Wow. And I've not got any headed notepaper because I do not write letters. So since we've been here, I've got no headed notepaper, no compliment slips or anything like that. Everything is done by email. I don't write letters. No. I don't in Phoenix's capacity either. So good news. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about the Audit and Scrutiny Committee. This is going to be next week. There's the Finance and Resources meeting next week. The idea of the Audit and Scrutiny is to look at the proposals that are going to go forward to the budget and something came out of that. They need to start looking at that even earlier. Graham Clark, who's the chairman of the committee, said he was there at the meeting as well and said it's a considerable piece of work. Barry then made the point that years ago councillors were full-time retired people. It was all a bit of a hobby and running the local government, but now it's much more professional. There's a lot more boxes to tick and procedures to carry out and make sure everything's covered. And councillors obviously have other jobs too, and he was lamenting the fact that if you're going to have a very complicated job and you want the best people to do it, then they got to have more money. Now, he then said this isn't a plea for councillors to have more money, but he's saying he's always got a problem that he needs to have the right people for the job. And he didn't say it, but I thought, well, you know, the adage is if you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. And, you know, we get it on Phoenix as well.
What, monkeys?
Waiting for you to say something there. Yeah, I mean, we're a volunteer organisation, so I have to persuade the very best people to work for nothing.
That's like me. I'm the best, aren't I, out of everybody?
Because because there are other benefits. Firstly, they get lots of kudos, lots of goodwill, and then hopefully they will get lots of work off the back of what they do. And I know some of our presenters do, and they like the arrangement. And I would love to pay people, but I don't have the money, and I think the council's in the... Well, council gets more scrutiny anyway. I mean, if they spend a few quid now, everybody wants to know what they spent it on, why they spent
it. No biscuits. No biscuits at the council.
That kind of thing. Yeah. I do feel sorry for them. I know a lot of people are moaning about expenses and all the rest of it, but I do kind of feel sorry for them. They can't spend a single thing on doing their job. And the people who are moaning are probably in big businesses with their own great big salaries and expense accounts and cars, and they don't think the rules apply to councils. So I'm a little bit sympathetic towards all councillors about that.
I noticed you didn't say my show was good. You skipped over that bit.
Yeah, I did. Because I would only have to edit it out afterwards, because it's not relevant to the conversation.
Horrible. Stop laughing. Right, yeah, just edit that bit out.
Yeah, I wasn't actually going to give you your assessment on air right now, but, we can...
Hey, I have this letter. I don't want to open it.
Yes. The first time I have to write you a letter. Yeah. Okay, so that's all going forward. Obviously, the budget is going to, the next few months politically are quite exciting. We've got general election, we've got local elections, which are on a knife edge, which it's not a foregone conclusion who's going to win that one. Or the general election, you don't know what's going to happen.
Lots of floating voters, they're saying. Lots of people are not decided yet.
I hate floating voters. I can't say that, can I? Because that sounds horrible. I just want to make the point that we live in a world where most people have an idea about whether they're left wing or right wing, and they tend to stick with the party all their lives. And the government is always decided by people who can't make their minds up, who switch from one party to another. And that doesn't seem logical to me, that the people who don't really know what's best for the country from election to election are the ones who decide it. But I've just attacked the complete fundamental principles of democracy, which was not my aim to do that. But it just seems a little bit of a paradox to me anyway. Moving on. At this point, the press officer, Leona Murray-Green, was dismissed with honours from the room. And Barry then spoke as leader of the Accord. There was a full council meeting last week. Exasperated, he said three motions were put forward by the council. He said, firstly, he was very upset that there was no apology from Chris Hossack, who came in and talked about that thing that happened. I'm not going to repeat what the newspaper said.
It was one word. It was one word out of the whole.
Having
thing.
Said that, I was reading some Australian newspapers in the week, as you do, a bit of research, and the word was prevalent all the way through it because someone else had called someone else, and there was no upset. But then they have a different culture out there, don't they? It's not, things aren't offensive out there that are offensive in the UK. So it just made me laugh that I saw the words in a posh Australian, like the Sydney Daily Telegraph or something like that. Anyway, there was no apology forthcoming. The leader of planning was asked a question if there was an apology, and the normal rules, Barry Aspinall said, is that the leader of planning has to answer. And instead, the leader of the opposition made a statement, which I am told she was not meant to do, saying that no one had asked her to apologise. And he said that was irresponsible and just plain wrong. And if she couldn't see that her members had caused offence, then that was pretty poor. So there was three motions that were discussed at full council. The first one was to put the lights back on, the street lights to turn off at midnight. Now, Harlow Council have decided to pay £100,000 to do this and offer it to Essex County Council. Now, It's been reported this week in the news that they're going to go back on, but apparently the council have to agree it. And we know from previous weeks that Brentford Borough Council asked Essex if they could do it, and Essex said no. Now, there's a motion going forward asking Essex to reconsider this, and because it's making people worried and afraid. Barry said he has first-hand anecdotal evidence of... he was listening to people talking about it. He said... two people working in a shop saying they don't feel safe coming home from the station after midnight, walking through. And he's very upset about that because he said it's happening in Brentwood. It's his hometown. It's always been safe. And he says complaints about the lights not being on are falling because people are changing their habits. They're just not going out in the dark.
Yeah.
Now, one of the Conservative councillors, Councillor Olivia Sanders, said that she would support the motion because she'd broken down late and she was very worried about waiting in the dark for someone to come along and get her. Some of her colleagues backed her, but the leader of the opposition did not. Voted against the lights going back on because she said that they're talking to Essex County Council because they're Conservatives, and Essex County Council Conservatives, they're talking to them instead of Brentwood Borough Council, and that's why they didn't support it. That was her explanation. Now, the second motion was to query. There's a walk-in surgery in Springfield, which is in Chelmsford, which doesn't really seem like it's relevant to us, but a lot of the residents in the borough to the north of the town, so people in Ingatstone and the villages at the north, they will go to Broomfield as a hospital or first choice in Chelmsford, and the Springfield Walk-in Centre is used to ease pressure on Broomfield, just in the same way that there's a polyclinic in Harroldwood which eases pressure on Queens as well. Now, Councillor Naylor, who's Conservative, spoke against the motion because she said that the council didn't have the right to challenge, I think it was an NHS decision. Councillor Sanders voted for it because she said we need to have this open. She works in the NHS, works long hours there, like, I guess, like they all do. And some Conservatives supported it, but others, including the leader, voted against it. Okay. And finally, now, this is a fairly, you would think, a non-political thing. Now, when somebody has work done on their house, you get builder's lorries come along, and they tend to mess up the grass verges and the pavements because you've got lorries going backwards and forwards. And they're not reinstated by the builders because the builders often say, well, we didn't do it. Someone else came along and did it. You can't prove it. And normally Essex County Council chase it up. Now, Brentwood say they're fed up of this because they're the ones who end up getting the complaints for the tripped paving stones and so on. And they want all planning permissions that come into them to have photographs of the verges and the curbs and so on prior to the commencement of the work. And the council could ask for a bond from the developer or the builder to say that if you don't reinstate it, we'll just spend the money out of the bond and get you to fix it that way. Now, that seems fairly sensible. The opposition leader, who's in spokesman for planning, voted for it. A lot of the Tories, I'm told, voted for it. Some abstained again. The leader voted against it with a few others. I think the explanation was that she felt that Essex County Council had to deal with it. So Barry's upset about that, says it's not very good governance. And, you know, we'll talk to the Conservatives. We'll see if we can get their views on this. So we'll reach out to them and we'll get their side of the story. But
that just sounds like you're putting it... You didn't reach out to them. It's like
21st century talk now. Yeah, it's kind of... It's in the lingo now. Okay, so we'll get their side of the story on that. Yeah. So, you know, that's the non-council part. That's the actual political part of the conversation. And it's interesting. You know, a lot going on in Brentwood. So it's always good to go down to the town hall and find out what's going on. Hopefully
and
we'll
tomorrow
be doing
you
that.
Can. Tomorrow you can go and see Barry Aspinall,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, because he's got his Meet the Leader tomorrow. It's the first of three events. I think the other one, the other two are in March, 6th of February, 6th of March and 27th of March, I think it is. Memorised too much from our events from our wonderful events guide, which is currently getting 12,000 hits a month, which is fantastic.
So there we go. Tomorrow's between 9:30 and 12, and that's the committee rooms at the Town Hall, and you can go and have a chat with Councillor Barry Aspinall, any comments, suggestions or issues you may have regarding the work of the council.
It would be great if people go down and do that, and then we're told next week that people went down and did that, because I would like to think that all the correspondence with the council just doesn't happen on Twitter, because there's a few people, some who make
7th
themselves...
7th of March? Saturday, 7th of March is the next one.
7th of March, yep. 28th of March?
Yes, and the 28th of March.
Oh, I was close. Yeah. Okay, good. It would be nice to see people, actually real life people talking to the council.
Is it going to be filmed, this, or is it going to be on
the internet? Think so. I think it's just like come in and talk. It's like a surgery, really, isn't it? It's that kind of thing. So, good. Let's see what comes out of that. We look forward to talking about that next week.
Okay, so you'll be back in next Friday?
Can't wait.
Thank you very much. Coming up next is Molly. Hello, Molly.
Hello.
Sounds so far away, but we have some music beforehand. 11:36, I'll be back with Molly after this.